There are dreams that could be imaginations, but there are visions that are visions. Except God shows you a vision that get up, resign your job, and walk out. I don't recommend you do that. That's overzealousness. What do you do? It is simple. No, you preach, you won't preach. Preach in the evening. Do you work on Saturdays? No. Do you work on Sundays? No. Go and print flyer. Tell everybody I'm preaching. Brother, go to work in the morning. Cut off. You see, you need time. As a lot of people say, we are praying. They are, you know, there's prayer of faith. There's prayer of imitation. There's prayer of fear. There's also prayer of joblessness. There's nothing else to do. So you wake up at night, you pray. During the day, you pray. Then you fast. You pray. You study. The real problem you have is that you have nothing else to do. It's not because of necessity of those prayers. Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. You need extra time, I know. So cut off weddings. Are you the groom? You're not the officiating priest. You're not big enough to officiate for anybody yet. Look, see, if you, why is it that it's your job you want to sacrifice? You can't sacrifice, wedding engagement. What are you doing when they birthday parties? Is your father buying Liverpool? A mother like is not your brother, sister. Stop watching home movies. Stop watching football. No, I'm serious. Those are the things that really consume your time. Like Bishop Oyedepo used to tell us those days. What are you going around visiting anybody for? Stop visiting people. I'm serious. I mean that. That's where you cut off all the waste of time. Stop visiting people. Stop going for weddings. Not every birthday, good enough text messages abound. And for goodness sake, that wedding you did not go for. If you use the fuel money to buy a few recharge cards and text the people, they will remember the recharge card. All the people that queue up and ate their cake and their rice, they will forget they came. You don't know that? The man who sent you 5,000 naira on your wedding is more remembered than the one who came and stood in the crowd. Hey, how now? Congrats. And walked away. In fact, you wish everybody wouldn't come more than your immediate friends and family. Everybody should convert their seats to 5K. 5K times 1,000. Oh, boy, you don't go far. That's 5 million naira. Hey, that's a Kia Sorento. Wow. I mean, when the Bible says redeem the time, the word redeem, you know what it does? What it means? Buy. No. The word redeem in the Bible means what? Buy. He said redeem the time because the days are evil, that you give up something to get more time. Dedicate a percentage of your salary for buying time. Say, tomorrow morning is my baby dedication. Tomorrow morning, my God, I'm tied up. Then you take some of your redeeming time account. Take 5K. Please, I will not be around. I will send this guy when he's coming to give you this money. The guy that's coming will be forgotten. The you that sent the money, you'll be remembered. Amen? That's what I mean by money really answered all. I'm telling you. What am I saying? Buy time. Tell them, sorry, I can't come for the wedding. That's the time you will study, you will pray. And that's the time you will prepare your messages. Then Saturday evening, you preach. Sunday morning, you preach. Sunday evening, you preach. Wednesday evening, you preach. You have all the time to preach. Don't just get up and walk out until God has shown you a different flow for your life, especially financially. Are you getting my point? You people must be wise. You know, sometimes people use too much zeal to get themselves into unnecessary suffering. Listen to this. Then they testify later that when I started, I suffered. I hate hearing some of those testimonies. Not because I don't think people may need to suffer sometimes, but because a lot of those testimonies are unnecessary. Olayinka, you gave me a book, Patrick Besson, how he started his life. That, the biography. What's the title of the book again? An autobiography by Patrick Besson. I finished reading the book. I read it maybe like 2 years ago. Or was it a year ago? When Yinka gave it to me to read. And I told my wife, I said, you see, this man's sufferings were purely, they were not based on faith. They were not based on zeal. What I mean, they were not based on truth. They were based on zeal that was not checked. He did not have to suffer like this. He suffered for his ignorance. He didn't suffer for his faith. He punished his wife, his children unnecessarily. I read the book. I said, sir, The problem was that you gave your life to Christ and you were not tutored. That is why I hate people who just jump from doing nothing into ministry. Sometimes it's a sign that they can't stay under authority. You want to enter ministry? I said, go and show me the jobless man that Jesus called. Go and show it to me now. Peter and Co., what were they doing? They were fishing. What was Matthew doing? Collecting tax. You want to enter into ministry? Get up, go and get a job. Start a business. Or go to another ministry and work under somebody who can tell you when to get up, when to come home, when to come to work, when to go home, when to wake up. All this one that you are your own, you wake up when you like, is the reason why that ministry won't do well. A lot of the sufferings people describe are sufferings of ignorance. But you can't say, you know, I particularly have a problem. And you know my problem? A lot of people, they won't listen to me because they feel like I'm justifying what I did. Forgetting that before I did what I did, I settled down and thought about it. And I said, God hates idleness more than the job I'm doing. I hope you know that. I'm a university lecturer. An hospital consultant. I don't think I love the job so much I can't leave it. I can. But one thing I won't do is leave it for idleness. Say, Pastor Frankie is not in full-time ministry. I said, those of you say you're in full-time ministry, sit down. Let's compare notes. I have written 13 books. I preached on radio twice a week for 4 years. This year makes it a year. This month makes it 1 year that we've been on Omega Channel. Olayinka, am I lying? I have 18 tracks in circulation. I preach on the average 3 times a week. If you open your mouth and tell me you're in full-time ministry, better do more than what I'm doing. And listen, on top of that, my wife cannot tell you I'm not there for her or there for the children. I don't go anywhere. You all know, if you don't wed in Enugu on Saturday, I'm not attending. There's one young woman in my office. I like the young lady a lot. She's helped me a lot. She gave me a card last week. Another young woman in my office wedded the week before. So my wife and I went for that wedding on a Saturday. We drove down to their village after a while. Please, just nearby here. I came back and said, I have to go and preach. These other ones, who's closer to me, who I'm more fond of than the other one, I looked at her card, Onitsha, UK area. In my mind, there's no way this guy is going to Onitsha for a wedding. It's very simple. If I was going to go, nobody drive, I go drive. The money I would have given to NNPC, I give it to her. I join into what I would have given her before. That way, my presence is registered by Sanusi Lamido Sanusi's signature. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. But the wedding, I am not going. Ask my wife. All her younger ones married. Eh? There was not one I attended the reception. Benin is, when the road was good, it's 3.5 hours drive. Because you have to cross on it. On Sunday, it's 3 hours. Nobody here knew I went for my in-laws' weddings. Nobody. Because they are coming out of church. Hey, they are taking picture. They are taking picture like this. Pastor Banky enters into the car. It's in the evening. My father-in-law will ask, oh, Foma, where is Banky? Daddy, he has gone back to Enugu. My mother's immediate younger sister died. That one, I had to go for the burial. Driving from here to Owo is 5 hours. People in Kingdom World did not know I went for the wedding, for the funeral. The night before, when we were doing the normal wake up and everything, I was there, greeted all my cousins, you know. Next day, as I dropped my mama inside church like this, Mom, I said, Mom, you know, I get to go now. He said, yes, safe journey, God will be with you. I said, thank you very much. Nobody knew I didn't attend the church service. I drove 5 straight hours, got here around 4 o'clock, rested, and I was there to preach, here to preach by 5. The day my younger brother wedded, by that time I was father because our father passed on a few years before that. Everybody came from my place. Everybody, I was, my wife and I were all, for you can imagine, it's my younger brother. You, all of you know Deji. All right? By the time we finished the wedding, so I said, okay, I'm going. No? Amara, that's his wife. I said, ah, pastor, you are going to preach today? I said, because you wedded, the world will come to an end. She laughed. I left them there, but she came down here and I preached. I said, I'm telling you. I came here, I preached. I gave those examples because those are weddings and funerals that are so close that I couldn't excuse myself. But I still showed. On Monday, I teach fourth year medical students. On Tuesday, I'm in Itukozala. Same patient specimens. And I've told my wife from the beginning, she knows. When are you going to stop that? I said, I will never resign into idleness. I can't. As me, I don't like to organize choir, you know, organize women's group I'm meeting today. No, there are things that are not in my body. People say, pastor, we need to see you. I said, do you come for meetings? You don't come. I don't see you. It's true. I don't counsel strangers. Go to your church on Sunday. Go and meet your pastor. I redeem the time. I have enough time. Listen, don't think everything is perfect. What I mean is that there are things I'm not doing, all right, on the other side, because I had to redeem the time. There are publications I've been working on for weeks. There's a textbook I'm trying to write. Anytime I sit down, Chinedu will give me work. And pastor, we'll finish this one. I start editing, start compiling. So something gives. But I say, before I walked out of that into, say, what people call full-time ministry, I must be preaching. Do you know how many times John Wesley used to preach? 21 times a week. This is at the age of 80. The man wrote in his journal that laziness is setting in. That now he can only preach 7 times a week. That he has become lazy. The likes of Wesley. In 1 week, this man will preach 20 times. You know, this morning, the Pentecostals, the pastor will watch television in the morning, eat in the afternoon, then come with it as a big man in the evening, preach 1.5 times of the week, and says in full-time ministry. The rest of it, you are doing full-time business management. Because that's what you are doing. Supervising church, doing accounts. Do that for Nigeria Breweries. Do it for Glow. Do it for Zane. It's not against the will of God. Sometimes what we call full-time ministry, I laugh at it. You stop doing accounting in UBA, you go and do accounting in your church. Is it not accounting? You think one is more ministry than the other? If you want to stop doing accounting in UBA, go and preach. That's what I know is ministry. I'm not saying it's wrong, but don't make it look like you have sacrificed for the word. Listen, when Peter, all right, and Co, we're going to speak. They said we must not depart from the ministry of the word and what? Prayer. And start attending to accounting. You understand what I'm saying? I need to debunk that one from because a lot of us Pentecostals, we think that a sign of zeal is I just walk out of every other thing and go into idleness. Listen, Pastor Banky, so what are you saying? I'm telling you, there's a point, kingdom world activities we get to. There was a day my wife mentioned, they said, are you sure this thing is not reaching? I said, the problem I have is that what is taking my mind in kingdom, in my time in kingdom world activity, is not the kind of thing I call kingdom world demanding. Editing video is not the work of a pastor. I don't know where I get my point. I said, no. I won't leave reading my histology slides. Resign from it to come and edit video. It doesn't make sense. I can take that one to a studio. Good enough, God now sent me Chinedu, my bishop, who now took all that work away from me. Then I became free again. I said, I won't walk out from teaching my medical students. I love teaching. To editing video. The only thing I will walk out from, is to walk into teaching the word. That is, let's assume now, as I finish this one, I'm starting a seminar in Abuja on Wednesday. After that, there's one I'm going for in Botswana for another 4 days. Then the time has come. Because there's no how I'll tell my dean every week I'm taking permission for 4 days of the week. It's not possible. But It is not glorious to say, I stopped teaching medical students so that I can start doing video editing. No, I won't do that. I won't do that. It's easier for me to shout on Chinedu. When I scream on him sometimes, I know the head will be exploding. It's easier. Yes, let him do that. Let Bishop do it. Let other people do video editing. The only one they can't do for me is to preach for me. Are you getting my point? That would be I'm neglecting my ministry. Why did I tell this whole story? Zeal. A lot of people use zeal to do things that are unnecessary. And now they are suffering for God. Sometimes we are suffering for ignorance. Are you getting my point? Please, I'm supposed to close now, but let me just dispense this matter, please. Just give me 2 more minutes. This is a point. When zeal is pushing you, let it push you to pray. Are you getting my point? Then you settle down, listen to the counsel of elders. It is important you don't rush out before the time. That's what I'm trying to explain. If you're in school, except God comes and speaks to you, no matter how hot the vision is, finish that school. Not because you need it. Are you getting my point? It's not the certificate I'm talking about. It is just to give you focus. I say something all the time. Because let me tell you something. I have seen a lot of men on fire. They get discouraged. They get discouraged. You know what happens? When you eat fire, oh my God. When God pours the vision inside you, you won't be able to sleep. You will wake up and be twisting and turning. Then when you have freed yourself to try to accomplish the vision, you go shock. The first Israelites you talk to, he will look at you and say, you want to kill me, Abi? You know Moses? You say, no, I want to deliver you. Ah, Egbamio, he wants to kill me. Help! Shut! I want to deliver you. And they stone you in the first place. You won't believe this is the people I'm supposed to deliver. That's how it is. When you come out, you want to pastor the biggest church in the world. You leave everything you are doing. Only you and your wife will do this is that day for 6 months. Then one of your neighbors will pity you and join. After 2 years, you will go back to your employer and say, okay, I've been giving out my post. You start getting discouraged. Listen, what I've told you is standard. That's what happens 99% of the times. There's one man who told us a story that the man came to him and said, this is not the vision I saw. Because when the zeal inside, you think when you preach, the whole world will come down to your church. Everybody will leave. They will leave redeemed, winners, Father Mbaka, everybody. They will just gather, only you. And to make it more interesting, the first day you start, they welcome because they are your friends. You have been to their campuses and their churches to preach. They come and encourage you. You will see 700, 1,000 people in your inaugural service. Next Sunday, they go back to their various churches. You know those who God really sent with you, usually your wife. Then you will look. Then you start praying the prayer you should have prayed before you open the church. That is why I say, don't be in a hurry. Like Paul, retreat into the wilderness for a while. You know, Jesus knew he would save the world from the time he was young. You know that? Yes, now. At the age of 12, what did they tell them? Did you not know I'll be in my father's house? Going about my father's business. Was that what he said? But the Bible said he returned with Mary and Joseph and continued in subjection to them. Listen, do you know until he was 30, his cousin that did not have a fragment of anointing compared to what he has was gathering all the crowd in Israel. And Jesus was looking. He will go for John's meeting. And John will be preaching fire and brimstone down. While the meeting is going, somebody will tap his shoulder and say, is my chair ready? He said, no, after the preacher finishes, I'll go and plane it. And he will go back home. Until the day that the God of heaven, Holy Spirit, pushed him and said, yeah, go for baptism. And as soon as he was baptized, now listen, this is 30 years for a man who knew since he was a young boy that he was going to enter into ministry. God gave me a vision years ago, in a dream. I thought about it a few days ago. I said, this dream is not fully fulfilled yet. Before I thought it was fulfilled when I got here, when we started doing this work. But a few days ago, I realized that no, I haven't reached there. I had the dream when I was 7. Because I started teaching when I was on campus. The anointing to teach, the way I teach now, came upon me around 1990. I remember very well. I don't know the day it entered, but I knew when the people started testifying. I remember when Peter came back from London. He had not been around for a while. He said, Banky has changed. Banky has changed. I remember one day I came to preach. I had graduated. And Brother Master, one of our senior brothers, he came for the meeting. As I was preaching, he opened his mouth throughout. Nabanki. Nabanki. I remember very well. Later I understood it was an anointing. Are you getting my point? And then I was a house officer. I just left school. But this thing came to me upon me around the, I can't remember the very time, but sometime around 1990. All right? I'm sure of that. Listen. In 1993, I was serving in Taraba State, 3rd Mechanized Infantry Battalion, Nigeria Army. One night I dreamt. I won't give you the details. But I dreamt that I was walking down a very long corridor and I was looking for a door. And every door I turned to, I would try it locked. 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 Finally, I got tired. I said, God, ha! Please, I'm tired. Then I turned and I saw a door. I won't tell you what happened behind the door. Let me just stop. And now this time it was open. And I walked in and somebody was actually waiting for me. All right? Let me just stop it there for now. All right? But this is the point I'm telling you about. Why I'm telling you about it. For years. Now, imagine that I was anointed to teach from 1990. I started preaching about 2 years before that. All right? It's early 89. All right? So around 1990, late 90, all right, was when the anointing to teach. And I knew I would go and preach. My brother, Kingdom World Ministry started in the year 2000, I think. Was it 2001, maybe? I think it was 2000. But we're already in Enugu. Because I remember I went for Lukaf, for my London Fellowship, for our brethren to send us off and pray for us. How many years later? Like 8 years after. Abi? No. Oh, more than 10 years after. What are you saying? So you can imagine, I finished service in 93. So the fire was burning. That's when I tell you, I used to preach to myself. I'll be pacing up and down in my room. What the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 1, that I will preach and preach and preach until I get tired. Look at my time, 15 minutes. I used to go out of the house to go and preach. Then one day I got engaged. Hi! I finally found congregation. Well, I preached to my wife. Oh God. I preached. Ask her, honeymoon. I preached every. Honeymoon, we just married. I preached too. She hear word and she was tired. In that short interval that we knew each other, she said, I preached to her more than anybody else on earth. So imagine containing, you know, the anointing for all these years until that time. You are getting the point I'm making. That's what zeal does. It puts you on so much fire. But if you go out before the time you are supposed to go out, you will wreck it. It's a lot of discipline that's necessary to contain the zeal. And we must learn that discipline. Sometimes a lot of, you know why you're in university? Not because God wants you to learn book, but so that you won't go and spoil everything. He gave you lecturer and dean that will make sure you're on campus. So for 4 or 5 years, you must stay there. Some people, you know why they fail on campus? Not because God can't give them brain. God says if they pass on time, they will spoil it. So your paper will get missing. Why? God says, stay 1 more year. But if you are the type that will quickly go and take a job and relax there, or go and work under somebody else who won't let you preach, you bench you in that church permanently for the next 6 years, God will let you go.